Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I hope you are not in a hurry to go. Make sure you get a response. So it's a question and answer Sunday. So we're going to ask questions and we're going to, by the Spirit of God, proffer answers. Every one of us. How many of us have questions this morning? Let me see your hand. You have questions? Let me see your hand. Okay, so no, raise your hand. There's a reason why I'm asking you to raise your hands. Okay, so ushers will help to give you a piece of paper and a pen so you can write the questions on it. Okay, so it makes it easier for us to answer questions. Some of us may be mic shy. We don't want to come to the mic. So you can write it down. The ushers will collect the questions and then we'll bring it forward. And then we'll trust God to do justice to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Uncle Fem, because I'm feeling hot. I don't know. Is somebody feeling cold now? If you are feeling cold now, in this weather, after this kind of worship, we shall pray for you. All right, so please just go ahead and do that. Hallelujah. Okay, so, you know, it's difficult for your pastor to come to church on a Sunday and not have a message. It's very difficult. So there's a message already. Without the question, say amen. Amen. So we shall look at the message first. Shall I call it sermon? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We just look at God's word briefly before we start answering the questions. Pastor T, please, when they bring it to you, call it so we can have an idea of how many questions we have. So the more questions you have, the lesser my sermon. The lesser the questions, the longer the sermon. So know how you are going to pray. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Apostolic instructions by the Spirit of God. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, what is that truth that we are founded upon? Let me read verse 15 again. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know, that is, if my physical presence is not available for a length of time, I want you to know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. That is not a reference to a physical building. The house of God is the church of the Lord Jesus. He calls it the ground and the pillar of truth, the foundation of truth. Outside of this, there is no other truth. That's what he's saying. The house of God, the church of the living God, is a spiritual entity. It's not a physical building. We come together in a spirit, in the physical building, but we are spirits gathered with the Father of spirits. We must not forget that. So the truths we're about to look into are truths that govern how to conduct ourselves. You see, one of the challenges we have in the present day that we're in, when I say day, I mean the age we're in, is the temptation to do whatever appeals to us or to follow the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age cannot govern the affairs of the kingdom. So there is a spirit of the age. Ephesians 2:2 says, the spirit now walketh in the sons of disobedience or children of disobedience. That's the spirit of the age. And sometimes if we are not constantly reminded that this is the house of God, we tend to misbehave. Because if you do what naturally occurs to you, you are not going to conform to the truth of scriptures. So there's what naturally occurs to you. There's what you are spiritually or scripturally instructed to do. They are not the same thing. I like an illustration I had from man of God. He said, you can't come into somebody's home and start rearranging their furniture. It's not your house. If you do that, you are likely to be sent packing. So when you come to God's house, that's the gathering of the saints. You don't come to rearrange, you come to confirm. You learn how he structures his own house. You follow that order. And when we do, we won't have issues or problems or challenges. Even offenses that usually arise won't come. If you just follow, what is this prescription for how you and I are meant to behave? Now there are many instructions. We just want to look at one. Okay, we want to look at the honor code. We want to look at the honor code. So look at the next verse. I read verse 15. You see, how you ought to behave yourself. It says, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Verse 16 says, and without controversy. Okay? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into what? Look, he just summarized the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I don't know why King James puts it as without controversy. Okay, the original context is the word our mutual confession. Our joint persuasion is that the mystery of godliness is great in that God chose to become flesh. If you are reading King James and it says without controversy, you know, it sounds like something else entirely. But what it really says is that our mutual confession, this is our mutual persuasion, is that God became manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit is the resurrection. That was when he was seen of angels. So angels had never seen him. Yeah, I know that will come as a surprise to some of us. They had never seen him. Heard his voice, but to see him, no. Until he rose from the dead. Of course, they saw him when he was on his earthly walk, but they didn't even recognize fully, in full measure, who he was. They had to learn. Angels are not infinite in knowledge. Hallelujah. They are spirits. And the born again Christian is higher. Man as a being is higher than the order of angels. So he speaks about how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. Because like I said, you don't import your own culture. You come here and learn of Christ. You know, I love what Ms. McKinney shared this morning about the fact that Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in verse 17 says that I testify in the Lord that from now on you no longer walk as other Gentiles walk. He began to give the qualifications in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They are estranged from the life of God. He says, you have not learned that of Christ. So when you come into the church, first of all, spiritually, you come into church as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You come to learn of Christ. That's so important. Now, some of the learning will be contrary to what you learned before you came in. So there has to be a renewal of your mind. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Are you there? It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that? Good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. He's not talking about three things. He's talking about one thing. God's will is what God finds good. That's what God calls acceptable. That's what God calls perfect. That means beyond this, there is no other counsel where God is concerned. It says, until your mind is renewed, you cannot prove. You can't be on the same page with him. You're on the same page with him in spirit because you are created by him. But the same page means that in your way of thinking and your disposition, you have to be on the same page. So he says, be not conformed. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into his own mold. Now, that's the state you were in when you came into Christ. Now, there is an unlearning you have to do and a relearning. You first unlearn some things, then you relearn some things. Now that you're relearning some things, he says, don't allow the world system to squeeze you into a particular way of thinking. It says, but become transformed by the renewing. So your mind needs to go through a metamorphosis. It says, that's the only way you can understand how God thinks. So there's a way God thinks different from the way the world thinks. Now we're looking at the honor code, and it's really amazing how we import the word culture into the church. Honor means to treat something as sacred. To treat something as precious. You handle that thing specially. Different from other things that you handle. That's what honor is. So I cannot say I'm honoring you and not treat you differently. And a fundamental requirement for the operations of the Spirit of God in local assembly is honor. We must learn to honor one another. We must learn to see each other in Christ and in Christ alone, first of all, before you look at the other person any other way. Now, not failing to realize that you see individuals who come in, and then you come in with your age and your tribal bias. So you're first looking, I'm married, he's not married. We're not mates. You understand? I have a job, he doesn't have a job. I have children. This one has never been to the hospital. So you know, you start bringing in natural things that have nothing to do with the culture of Christ. Who told you that the body of Christ is structured according to age? I'm the older person. When you are coming, you first greet me first. Who said that? Where did you learn that from? This is the house of God. The ground and the pillar of what? Truth. Love is your motivation. If you ever want to serve God successfully, leave your age at the door if you want to, can pick it when you're going. Leave your cultural bias at the door if you want to, you can pick it when you're going. And you know, in leadership, we try to model some of this as an example. I'm not the only one. Our pastors wait for church members to pass while they're also waiting for their pastors to pass. Is it right for you to wait for your pastors? But your pastors who can wait for you in honor, preferring one another. A pastor is a chief servant. He's not just leader, he's chief servant. It means he demonstrates Christ by service. That's what he does. So he's not expecting, or well, let me say this again. He should not necessarily expect that, okay, everybody should just come and be serving me. I'm about now. Bow now. No. If love and honor is the motivation, then you will hardly have issues with offenses among believers. Honor is so critical to our walk in God. You know, no matter how much you teach in a local assembly, as long as the honor code is not in place, you will see strife, pockets of strife here and there and there. You see believers come to the same assembly who have refused to greet one another. It's shocking. The Bible says you have not so learned Christ. So there are people that in your mind you don't greet. If we ask you why, you won't say. A part of you saying that, are we mates? I greeted him the other day, he didn't answer me. And you know, it's sad that this thing occurs more among women. Women are blessed. Look at where I did my hand. They are blessed. I don't understand. The person is younger than you. There's nothing wrong with you greeting first. They're even sizing each other up. I will see where that will be today. You see, the mindset is already wrong because you have not so learned Christ. You don't come here to prove a point. You come here to learn Christ. You now wonder why some things don't work. You have to check your heart. What's your disposition? Romans chapter 12. Are we there? Verse 9. See what it says in verse 9. Let love be without what? Hypocrisy. In case you don't know what this definition means. Okay? I changed it from the old English to common English now. The word definition is hypocrisy. Okay? Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is what? Good. Look at verse 10. Let's read verse 10 again. I want to go. Be kindly affectionate one to another. With what? Stop. With what? With love. Tribal love. Okay. Marital love. Okay. Cultural love. Okay. Age gap love. What is brotherly love? We're washed in the same blood. We're saved by the same Lord. We're called into service by the same Savior. I hope you know that there were people that followed Christ that were far older than him. Forget the fact that he was the ancient of this. On the earth, he was born by someone. I hope you know that Mary, mother of Jesus, gathered with the 120 to speak in tongues. I hope you know that though she was his mother, she called him Lord. So if it comes to spiritual things, age is not a priority. Age may help other people to respect you, but it should not be the priority or the basis for which respect comes. It is spirituality and the placement of God's plans and purposes. That is what matters first. You have people that you want to relate to, that those you want to relate to. You are not going to like everybody, but you must love everybody. Say amen. You hear what I said? You are not going to like everybody, but you must what? Love everybody. And love means you have to honor. Let's read again. It says, okay, thank you. He said, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take what? Delight. In doing one, honoring each other. If I notice you've not been greeting me, first time, second time, the third time was not being a coincidence, I will walk up to greet you. How are you doing? If the person shuns you, go and report the person to a leader or a pastor. Let that be a witness. Because some believers are, the world should learn from them how to be carnal. Somebody greeted you. You acted like you didn't hear. You are a hypocrite. You know the person greeted. Because you have made up your mind, you now acted like you didn't hear. Your carnality is in capital letters. But you will kneel down and pray and blast tongues. He will do so. And what is right in conduct and character, you're not following. You see, this is how we shoot ourselves in the leg. Be kindly, he said, brotherly love. You know what brotherly love means? The first point of contact between you and a fellow believer is we're what? Brethren. Brethren means that the same blood, the same life that we have received. So your categorization is different. Listen, please, I know we are Africans. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, renew your mind to being a believer and an African. Don't be an African believer. Be a believing African. Say amen. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? Say, I'm a believing African. And you know there's a difference. You know the one that comes first is the priority. You say, I'm an African believer, so you have put Africa first. That is the problem. This church. Some people don't even know they are meat. So this one is just 25. And I'm using Sister Banke. Which sister? You are who? Also, the sister you were using before was because of age. It shouldn't have been. You can have personal relations with people when you call them by first name. Even if there's a 10-year gap, it's up to the two of you. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you honor that person because they are members of the body of Christ? Or do you put your African mindset first? That's what is causing a lot of differences. You can't talk to me like that. Have you heard that before? Hardly a week goes by that we don't hear it. You can't talk to me like that. It's wrong. Over the years, specifically in 2016, we made some adjustments in Holy Ghost meetings, in some things that we were doing. And when we did those adjustments, given by instructions that we received, we began to operate in a greater dimension of things of the Spirit. And then after we did that, there were other adjustments we needed to make. This is another adjustment that we need to make. Incidentally, this particular kind of message should not even be preached once a year or once in 2 years. We seem to need to keep hearing it because we tend to go back to our way of thinking. Honor is very important for the flow of the Spirit. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. King James, please. Not New King James. King James. Thank you. I'm old school, so. Mark 6 from verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and disciples followed him. And when somebody was coming, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing were astonished, saying, from whence are this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? So they knew about these miracles. Is not this the one? The carpenter? Was Jesus a carpenter? Was he a carpenter? Some people are saying no. He was a carpenter. He learned trade. He was a carpenter. So that when you are reading Philippians 2, you know when the Bible says that he humbled himself. He's serious. I think if you want to humble yourself, you go and join the Pharisees and learn the law. So I can become a doctor of the law. It was carpentry Jesus learned. When he said, is this not the carpenter? That means he was practicing before he began ministry. Say amen quickly. Amen. You cannot call the son of a carpenter a carpenter, except the son of a carpenter is also what? A carpenter. So he was a carpenter. But there's the problem. He had stepped over into divine assignment. How were they still seeing him? That's when I used to run around in Pampas. Do you know him? About Joseph, were you not at his naming ceremony? I was there. Naming ceremony was there. They didn't even give us food. So they were looking at him from a natural perspective. No wonder Paul told us, we've known Christ after the flesh. Henceforth now, knowing him no more. That is, in the flesh, you will never understand who Christ really is. That's why in Jesus' earthly ministry, the three and a half years, you will see some people saw him as a healer, some saw him as a provider, some saw him as a teacher, some saw him as a preacher. But very people knew him as their Messiah, which was his real assignment. Every other thing was an offshoot of his messianic assignment. So see what this is? Is this not this? And not his sisters here with us. So they were very familiar with him naturally. His sons are still here with us. And they were what? Offended at him. Look at the next verse. And he could yet do no mighty work. Every time I read this, I tremble a little bit. You know what it means for the God of the heavens and earth not to be able to do any mighty work? And it was because of something that came from the heart of men. That shows you how terrible that kind of force is. It's so strong it can stifle the flow of God's power. He could yet do no mighty work means he actually tried. That's what it means. He tried. He couldn't. The next statement will clarify it. See what it is. It says, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick ones and healed them. Let me read from the previous passage. He said, but Jesus said unto them, But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but where? In his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. Next verse. And he could yet do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few sick ones and healed them. Next verse. And he what? Marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about their village, what? Teaching. So we know the cure for unbelief is teaching. But notice, this was unbelief manifesting as dishonor. I love what something I heard from Reverend McCankin. He said, you don't have to dishonor, just refuse to honor. It's enough. You hear what I said? You don't always have to dishonor. Just refuse to honor. It's enough to cause major problems in your life. Just refuse to honor. Is this not the carpenter? We know him. We know the area he grew up in. Were we not mates in school? That's the problem. You cannot separate a natural fact from a spiritual reality. This was the Savior. He came to his own. He was in the world knew him not. He came to his own. His own what? Received him not. But to as many as what? Did he remain a Savior even when they rejected him? Yes. His saving ability was a manifestation towards those who received him as Savior. That's why Jesus said that. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a prophet in the name of an uncle, you will get uncle's reward. How are you going to get? If you receive a prophet in the name of a friend, you will get a hug. So he's telling you, the spiritual office doesn't function automatically. It functions based on what honor. You honor the office, you honor the individual. You know, it's very amazing. No matter how long-standing any ailment is in your life, if there's a brother you look up to as a believer, if that brother prays for you, even if it has been there for 10 years, it will be healed. Just because of honor. Because honor governs the flow of virtue. Honor does. So we have to be very circumspect in how we treat one another. Every saint is sacred. Every believer is special. Learn to have great regard for fellow believers. Step out of the flesh. There's a way to address. There's a way to talk. You know, in the SU days, everybody, even the smallest person is, Brother Kunle. Sister Kemi. Imagine me going to my daughter. Sister Sharon. I even know her, the way she will look at me. Which side of the bed is my wake up from? Now, they overdid it, but we shouldn't lose the tradition behind it. The tradition was that we needed to honor one another. Because as long as we follow, that's one of the things that happened to the American cultural system. It's completely destroyed. When the mindset came that you can talk to anyone anyhow, it has seeped over into Nigeria. We have not spoken before. You don't know who I am. You come into my inbox. What's up? And to help some people, you know, some people are like, this one. salvation is far from you. Just go away. But to help some people, you respond, good evening, how are you doing? Sup. You are like, are you okay? You are tired. It's so disrespectful. People that if you see them one-on-one, you need to prostrate. You won't even have access to them. You can't even talk to them. You can't walk up to them. Sup. What does sup mean? Let me see. Good AM. Is that a good morning? Or what is AM? So even in how to communicate now, it has infiltrated. We don't understand honor. When I relate with those that I look up spiritually, from the beginning of the conversation to the end, everything I say is sir, 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 all the way down. That's how I respond. It's not old-fashioned. It's Satan's way of robbing us of the grace of God. It's old-fashioned. So you have to be saying, you are importing a culture that is different from that of the kingdom. That's what you're doing. Haven't you seen that in the ministry? People are appointed to shepherd and to bless you who are far younger than you are, because it's not by age. It's by divine appointment. Say amen. Amen. Glory to God. When Peter was sent by the Spirit to go to the house of Cornelius, if you study Acts chapter 10 very well, Cornelius was no mean man. A centurion commands 100 men. Okay, he's a high-ranking officer in the Roman army. He was a man of means. They knew him in his community. He had a good report, a good testimony. Peter was a fisherman, but an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter came, if people do that today, PM needs to carry it. They say idol worship, say idol worship. Why is he bowing down at the feet of a man of God? It's a function of what you want, and now you see people. When Peter came in, Cornelius fell down at his feet. It was Peter that took him up. That's the prerogative of the minister, to know how to handle honor when it's showed to him. He said, stand up, stand to your feet. I also am a man. But if God appears to you through an angel and there's you sent for a man called Peter, without him you can't be saved, how will you respond when the person comes? That is God that came to your house. That's why some of this is present day things that we have imported is a major issue in our honor work towards one another. I think I was talking to an elder, one of these designers, and somebody had spoken to me about that particular culture before. I think it's in the Anglican church. When the Anglican priest comes to your house and there's a marital issue that the two of you and husband have, he can come in and say, tell me what happened. You two tell me what happened. And when you finish, instead of saying, you are wrong, you are just there, you know what? It's okay, no problem. I understand. That wasn't a good thing to do. From now on, let there be peace. Whether you like it, you don't like it, from that time, there must be what? Peace. It's not a man that came, it's God that came to your house. That's how they regard, and that's how they enjoy the law of prosperity, because they regarded the man that God came to visit us. And you know, is this Pentecostal and charismatic? You know, they don't have much regard. Ministers are dragged in the mud. And then you that you are a believer, that you understand spiritual things, you put your tongue in a conversation that's castigating ministers, you don't know that you are robbing yourself of certain spiritual things. Whatever you criticize, you can never attract. You can never attract. Whatever you criticize, don't let any misled, misguided, disillusioned individual deceive you into putting your tongue in ministerial matters. Once they start, you see what happens, just walk away. You are not the judge. Just walk away. I heard the story of one man who was Pastor Chris. And if you know Pastor Chris in the early days, when he had time fully to pastor, when he finishes rebuking, everybody goes home very sober. You won't greet anybody. If I told them, when you leave this place, if I see you hug anybody, just go to your house. Why? If you are a true believer in Christ, you ought to hear rebuke from time to time. It's important for your spiritual growth. We should not be patting you on the back all the time. If you're not doing well, you're not doing well. We should correct you. And you should take it with the gladness of heart, smiling as you are going. Not decide that way, I won't go to that church again. And after that kind of meeting, somebody now leaves Georgia and says, ah, what's all that? Why is it that? Run away from people like that. They will destroy your life. Listen, from experience, dealing with people, lives have been destroyed because of lack of honor. Check the lives of those who don't honor ministers. They don't live long. I am not exaggerating. I'm telling you the fact. They do not live long. And the minister doesn't have to know anything about it. So when you see what is, you see, some of us, we don't realize what's going on social media, that is a spiritual campaign against the body. You think it's about minister. It's not about the minister. It's about what God has done and what he wants to do. See, after you criticize ministers, who else will perfect you? It's still ministers that will perfect you. So if this one is rubbish, this one is a thief, that one is a... Which one is left? This one is too proud. This one is too proud. This one has jet. This one doesn't have... Which one is left? God doesn't have any other means except to use ministers to work to perfect us. So by the time you finish, that's why even in your heart, do a check. If you notice dishonor is creeping in, do your best to get rid of it quickly, because it will hinder you in life. It's going to hinder you in life. We don't usually hear this, but it's important for us to understand. Those that are set as leaders over you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. We beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know them which one labor one among you, and are over you where? You didn't say they're over you in age. Are they over you in age? Answer now. Are they over you in age? How are they over you? So they have a spiritual stewardship over your life. Say they're over you in the Lord. And and admonish you. Look at the next verse, verse 13. To exceed them how? Highly. Very highly. Okay? Simple course in English language. Very is an adjective that qualifies highly. Amen? So very what? Exceed them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be what? At peace among themselves. So how are you meant to esteem those who minister to you? Very highly. We need to practice that here. You are not esteeming your leader highly when you are absent and you feel you don't have to answer to your absence. You are not esteeming leadership highly when you cannot make service, no matter what the reason is, and you don't think you should get in touch. You are not esteeming very highly. You don't think you owe them an explanation. That is dishonor. It's dishonor. It's the reason why prayers sometimes are not answered. It means the state of your heart is stopping manifestation of answers. Because the state of heart is very important. Listen, no matter how anointed a man is, if your heart is filled with dishonor, you cannot receive from him. And it's really amazing how God tends to use people that you may not necessarily like to be a blessing. Several years ago in the 80s, the kind of ministry, well, I had experienced that ministry on TV from around 1986, Archbishop Blessing Dawuza. I used to watch Iwo, that was a world outreach. How many of you watched that program back then? Okay. You sing that, oh Lord my God. That was a famous song. Once it comes on like this, So no matter what challenges I'm facing, once I watch that program like that, like this, after the prayer, I'll just sleep off and I'll just feel fine. I was a teenager. So because he used to dress flamboyantly in court for ministry in those days, they didn't understand that God was using this man to bring people out of poverty mentality. He wasn't flamboyant in his spending. He had an appearance to convince people about one thing. My God is not poor. Because there was a prevalent demonic mindset that people used to, so to speak, think of humility as poverty. In the 80s, late 70s, if you tell your parents you are going into ministry, your parents' friends will come and tell them, and really, mom, maybe not see this again. Sorry. They'll be commiserating with your family that finally, after all the education you give him, his ministry he wants to go and do. Because ministry was synonymous with suffering. So this man was raised by God to pioneer. Because of him, ministers can go on television today. It was because of that man. So understand, anybody who is pioneering anything will suffer persecution. Even among believers who are meant to be cheering him on. And like I said, whatever ministry God has for you, he will always put you under a man. You don't have to like him, but you must honor him. Did you hear what I said? You must honor him. Why do we practice honor among one another? That's the first basis. Because the person sitting behind you can't honor. Is it the pastor that you now honor? Is it ministers that come in to come and feed you that we now honor? Because honor is not just in church here. It's a disposition such that even when you're not here on social media, you are careful about your interactions. It's just wisdom. So, another minister that was also being raised was directed by God, go and submit to that man. This Archbishop Bedaza was a man that this particular minister did not like. He had heard things. How many of you have heard things about ministers? May you not discover too late that most of those things are fabricated? That they are not true. May you not discover when it's too late that it's not true. So this minister was like, he knew he heard God expressly. Go to meet that man. Go and submit. Because he was struggling in his heart and he wanted to obey God, he decided to go. So God organized a supernatural confirmation. So he went to the man's house. No introduction, nothing. Just went to the man. Knocked on the door. When he knocked on the door, instead of a servant opening the door, it was Archbishop that opened the door. He was about to mention his name. He said, yes, I know you are coming. He told me you are coming this morning. Come upstairs. So that was the confirmation. He was with him, learning for a few years. A few years after, the work he started in the north, every church in the north was being burnt. He came under every attack. Churches were being burnt, ministers were being killed. But in the space of 2 years associating with Archbishop, something was transferred. The same boldness that made this man read the whole of Benin of idol worship had been transferred into this man. It's one. Now, question. The God that took you to go, why can't he just like this? Receive. Receive. I mean, is it not God that spoke to you? Just receive. Take it now. Why can't he do that? No, he will put you under a man. Because it's a process. It's a procedure in the body. Okay? God will appear. Jesus will appear to Paul on the road to Damascus. After appearing and grooming, he will send him to go to a man called Peter for confirmation. That's how God does things. He will say, Jesus, you know, I'm the one that appeared to you, so you don't have to. No, you will still go and submit to somebody else that he called before you. That's where God operates. So if Paul didn't honor Peter, there will be no validation of his ministry. And he needed Peter's validation. He did. So in the north, when trouble broke out, this man stood in his church and dared anyone to come. Bullets were flying. Bullets didn't get anybody. Church was not burnt. Nobody was hurt because there was a supernatural force working. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Kings, let me show you something from the Old Testament that will help you. Are you getting something this morning? So it's important. It's so important. No, there's a series that we have not even concluded. So, if I'm taking something like this, please believe it's by instruction. All right, are you there? Now, because of our time, I'm going to skip. Verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. You should be thanking me because some of you have not gone to kings for a long time. Verse 9, okay. So, the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host, for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. So, there were three kings, where there was king of Israel, king of Judah. In those days, Judah and Israel were separate, and they had two different kings. Verse 11, but Jehoshaphat, that's the king of Judah, said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord of what of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is who? Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of who? Elijah. Verse 12, and Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Okay, let me just break that down. Here is Elisha, who served Elijah. Here is Elisha, who was Elijah's assistant. Now, if you served Elijah, knowing Elijah's reputation, you have tried. Particularly if you are alive. And fire hasn't burnt you. Because Elijah's temperament was almost suicidal. Today is on fire. The next day, take my life. I am not better than my father's. That's Elijah. So he was a temperamental minister. Guess what? He was heavily anointed. Did God call Elisha? Yes. But God told Elijah, go to Elisha and he will replace you or become or stand in your office when you are gone. Can you imagine God sending somebody that is temperamental to you and doesn't look at the person's temperament? That is your own business to deal with. If you don't honor, nothing happens. Did God call Elisha individually? Yes. Did he have to submit to Elijah? The answer is also what? Yes. Because that is how God enforces impartations. Now, notice it was a custom that was established in Israel. They knew. So they said, there is one man here called Elisha. What is his qualification? He served Elijah. To pour water there means to be your servant. That means every menial task, he was doing it. Why was he doing it? He was commanded of God to follow Elijah. By the way, you may not really know what that means until you notice that by the time Elijah found Elisha, Elisha was farming with two yoke of oxen. You are a big man. It's big men that use two yoke of oxen to farm. He had property. He left everything for ministry. So he was no mean man. So to go and submit to the description of Elijah is goat's hair or camel's hair, long beard, smelly body. Did you hear about John the Baptist's description? Do you know what his food was like? How many of you have smelled a dead locust before? Dead one. How does it smell? Terrible capital letters. So Elijah's, John Baptist was locust and wild honey. Not tame honey, wild honey. That was John the Baptist's food. And he came in the spirit of Elijah. So you know what Elijah was like. Now this was the man that Elisha submitted to. But the minute they heard, Elijah is gone, but there's somebody here who served Elijah. Oh, call him. The word of the Lord is with him. They knew automatically. Because that's how transference takes place. So if you're looking for excuses not to honor, you'll find plenty. But if you stay with the scriptures, your walk with God spiritually will be greatly enhanced. Don't just honor your pastors. Honor your leaders. Learn to honor fellow saints. Listen, let me say it again. Please, if somebody is not greeting you, go and greet them. Don't say, I am conservative. I am reshaped. Go and greet in love. Say amen. Greet people. Greet people in Jesus' name. Greet. The minute we finish service like this, see some people. They are sneaking away. You don't want to talk to anybody. You have been a member of the house for so long. When you see the sister on the road, is this, is that what you're going to do? Because you don't even know anybody's name. And it's wrong. We're a family. If you have natural siblings associations who are not born again, except they are born again, this family is deeper and closer to you than your natural family. Let's realize this. Listen, if I backbite you, I'm backbiting myself. Let's realize that. It's so important. Please, the days we're coming into, not just for the operations of the spirit, for our spiritual growth, for certain things to work in the place of prayer for us, honor is so important. Tell your neighbor, honor is important. I love you in Christ. I honor you in Christ. I prefer you above myself. That is what the scripture teaches. So if there's any animosity in your heart concerning anyone, what do you do? The Bible says, even as Christ forgave you, what? Forgive. Don't do an exegesis on what the person did. Don't do a breakdown. Don't start counting. I've greeted her three times now. You two that are greeting three times, when you are not the devil, why can't you answer? I don't understand. You think some things don't come to my ears as pastor. I just marvel. You cannot, if you are fighting me, you cannot fight me for them. Because me, I will greet you. And I will call you. How do you wake up in the morning to fellowship when something is in your heart? How do you people do it? Somebody is in your heart for the past 2 weeks. You are gifted. You held it. And you're saying, Jesus, I love you. And the Bible says that, Jesus, that you have not seen.
How can you love me when the one that you can see you have not what?
Loved. No, honor. Say honor.
Say honor one another.
It's so important. If time permits us in the coming weeks, we'll look more at it. But I just want to just set the tone because it's so important. Because in the days ahead, please, the brother seated beside you is not ordinary. The person is sacred because of the blood of Jesus. The person that has the Spirit of God is important. People have natural habits, bad traits. You have got to learn to overlook that. You have to. There are people that are believers who are cantankerous. No one needs to be cantankerous. They get into arguments very easily. They fight almost everybody. You may not like that kind of person, but you must want to love the person. I hope you know you must not be friends with everybody. You should not even be. Your emotional balance will crash. You should not be. But you must want love. That means I'm not going to hold any animals towards you. If you need help, I must reach out to assist you and to help you. I should think of you in that light. I should think of Christ. Christ is my reason for relating with you, first of all. Any other reason is secondary. Christ is my reason. Christ is my priority. Christ is my bias where you are concerned. That is how it should be. So because some of you say, they said we should be greeting our pastors. No, we didn't say that. We said we should greet fellow saints. We said we should greet your leaders. We said you should be accountable to your leaders. You know, some of our family leaders have told me that pastor will send message, they will not even respond. The same people that are not responding, it's amazing how they like gist. If it's on another platform where there's gist, your family does that. How are you doing, guys? Guys, nobody's, and then nobody's. If they put you in that person's position also, and you're a leader, how will you feel if you are sending message, you're not responding? They're not even acknowledging they are there. You don't know to acknowledge is to help somebody else at least in their work. Hebrews 13. If you are not in any WhatsApp group and you have been here for the last 3 years, your case is different. You need special prayers. You need special prayers. We get 7 men with 7 candles, 7 days of fasting to pray for you, to bind and cast out carnality. Is that serious? Hebrews 13. Verse 17. Somebody's already praying. Let this man finish. Let this man finish. Oh no. Okay, that was just a joke. See what it says. Obey them that have what? The rule over you. And say submit. Say submit. Okay, submission is not agreement. Agreement and submission are two different things. If you are in agreement with somebody, that's not submission. It's because you simply agree with the person. Submission means that you yield. You yield ground. You accept the role that person plays in your life. You submit. It says, submit yourselves for the watch over your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with what? Joy, and not with grief. For that will be what? Unprofitable to you. Can you see that? Okay. One more scripture I want to look at, but because of time, I'm not sure when the Bible also says, husbands, honor your wives. It says you should honor. Husbands are meant to honor. It's like this thing is in every phase of Christian life. You're in a department, honor your leader. You're in a family, honor the family leader. The family leader too has the responsibility to also honor you. But it's reciprocal. We are meant to teach you that sacred. That is how the spirit of grace flows and functions. It's so important. Don't allow the spirit of the age to rob you of Christ's sense. You know, as Walt said, there's Christ's sense. Don't allow the spirit of you to rob you of Christ's sense. It's important that you recognize what honor is. Honor is important to our walk of faith. Okay? Very, very important. I've seen people who've spoken against the move of God, the things of God happening in the ministry, and their ministry is nowhere to be found. They failed the honor code. It's so important. That's why when you see certain things being trending on social media, please don't put your mouth once it has to do with ministry. It's not your servant, it's God's servant. And the one who called him is able to make him to what? Stand. Ministers are not infallible. They're not perfect. The reason why they carry grace so that you can see very clearly that whatever you are seeing through them is strictly the grace of God. That's why. It's strictly the grace of God. But if you want to be blessed by them, you have to what? Honor them. Don't forget it. It's so important. Don't be among those who refer to pastors as guys. And I was with a friend of mine some years ago, and this is about 23 years ago now. And we're talking to somebody who was our pastor. A lady. And he said that, you guys. My heart first shook. My heart first was like this. I thought I didn't hear very well. My father said, okay, who is you guys? You and who? You mean, now I'm slower to react. But that reaction is the only kind of thing that can save your life. Because you got carried away. Is it you guys? Who is you guys? Your pastor is you guys. Is that how the spirit of this age creeps in? That's how it creeps in. That's why even the way you address your pastor on social media matters. You don't send a message to your pastor. Anybody who is already your pastor. And greet the way you greet just any other person. You must show honor even on social media. That's how it's done. So when you're greeting, it's with sir. Not just, you know, God bless you. Who are you talking to? We must be careful. We must be careful. You sent your pastor, one of your pastors, you sent a pastor on social media. It doesn't begin or end with sir. And you call, that's not honor. That's not honor. You have to be careful. It's not about your culture from your village. It's the culture of God's kingdom that we're talking about. That's why, irrespective of where you are, please be mindful. You know how old Peter was, how old Paul was? And Paul called Peter our beloved brother Paul. According to the wisdom of Christ that's given to him, they had mutual respect and regard for one another. It was clear as the apostles of Christ. It was so important. So interrelationship honor is very important. As we go on, we look at honor for the house of God, honor for the things of God, your disposition, because the honor code, the honor check is important when it comes to your walk of faith. Amen. All right. So we'll stop here today.